From the catalog narrative by arts journalist Seth Rodney. The women and girls lie prone on green grass. They are quietly and serenely composed. A hand folded over the other hand across the belly, as still as the surface of a lake when the wind is catching its breath. They are not waiting, not for an event, certainly not for anyone. They keep their own counsel. We can tell they do by the gaze that issues from every woman and girl in Lydia Panis' exhibit, Sleeping Beauty. This gaze confronts us. It is not difficult or furtive, not dainty or shrinking. It is stone solid in its self-awareness and is absent of request or expectation. No matter where we enter this exhibition, we are seen. And coming to recognize the significance of being seen, we might begin to understand that for a woman to truly have agency in this historical moment, the now, her eyes have to be open. This is WDIY 88.1 Lehigh Valley Community Radio, and you are tuned into Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we chat this day with Lydia Panis, photographer extraordinaire, exhibiting her latest work, Sleeping Beauty, at the Martin Art Gallery, Muhlenberg College, Baker Center for the Arts. A big welcome to you, Lydia.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you here. I just mentioned to the audience that the show is running at the Muhlenberg College Martin Art Gallery from February 20th through April 13th. And we'll talk a little more later in the show about receptions, talkbacks, discussions, all the elements of the exhibit. But first, Lydia, given the little bit of the intro that George shared with us about these women who are not waiting for anything with their eyes wide open, could you talk a little bit about the title, Sleeping Beauty, as a way into what spurred this project for you?
I always have trouble thinking about titles. And the way they come to me is always in kind of a burst. All of a sudden, as I'm driving my car and I'm thinking about my image, all of a sudden I think, that's it, which is how Sleeping Beauty came about. Sleeping Beauty in this instance is the opposite of the fairy tale, and it's these women really aren't asleep, and it's not about women who are asleep, but in fact, it's the complete opposite. It's about women whose eyes are wide open, but who are kind of caught in this contradictory place of being very aware and being very alert of their feelings, of what they know and what they understand, but also caught in a space where they've also been taught that. On the one hand, they've been taught to be beautiful and to be strong and to be powerful. And, you know, we've been taught we can do anything we want. At the same time, we just keep getting other mixed signals that tell us, you know, sit down, be nice, be pretty, be quiet. And so Sleeping Beauty refers to that place where that inner knowledge, that sort of inner knowledge that we understand ourselves, that we understand that something is wrong, but we're just not quite sure of how to get it out. So there's like a certain amount of awareness. So the beauty itself is really, the beauty is this, I guess the sleeping part of it is the part that hasn't kind of risen. It's mm-hmm. kind of dormant. It's there, but it hasn't kind of come out. Mm-hmm. So the beauty is the awareness, really. The awareness that's hidden underneath our, you know, a reticence to sometimes speak up or say something.
It's interesting. We were talking a little bit before we came on the air about for you, when you create an exhibit, a project, pursuing something like this, it's also about something you're exploring and what's things you need to understand for yourself as well as share with us. What in this particular exhibit, I would think much like what you've just been speaking about, did you need to explore? What were you intrigued by?
I think like in all of my work, I'm always exploring things that are sort of sitting inside of me and I need to kind of understand. And so in all of my work, it's always a lot about my own feelings. Like I sort of tap into feelings of from my childhood, my own feelings of anger as a child, my own feelings of resistance as a child, of wanting to say things. Mm. Wanting to, you know, to let people know that I was aware of certain things, but really never feeling like I could. And so in all of my work, sort of as an artist, I mean, I think the reason why I became an artist was because I really needed to kind of speak up. It was about sort of being able to speak. You know, I was my parents were immigrants, and there was a sort of a lack of articulateness, I think, in how I was able to express myself, and somehow I found the camera, and through the camera I've always been able to really put down on paper certain things that I feel that I have a little bit of a harder time articulating. And so I do this as a way to explore like what's going on inside of my mind. And it's interesting because all the projects are, they kind of happen very organically. I don't plan anything. I don't really know what's going to come out of it. But through the exploration, I learn so much about what I'm feeling myself. Mm-hmm. It's a really good way to understand things that are, you know, lying in my mind, and kind of contradictions and things that I'm not quite completely sure of. And just by going through them, like, it's one of the ways that I find that I really learn a lot about myself, and I feel this incredible sense of, like, serenity and, like, beauty when I see something on the page that explains how I was feeling.
It's interesting because looking at the images in Sleeping Beauty, for me, I was struck, and I've always been struck by that in your work, but perhaps particularly with the sense of the show and the women and the moment that we're living in as women, I felt like I was really caught up in the experience of having this intimate moment with a stranger. So for me, I'm not going into it with what you're looking to explore for yourself, but as I encounter the photos, I felt like I was pulled into this conversation and being asked to kind of be awake to what this person was asking me. I can't explain. It was very extremely intimate, almost uncomfortable, but not in a bad way, in a fascinating way. And I think that sense of being looked at is very strong in this, particularly in this show. And George, you and I were talking a little bit earlier about that's my experience. But as a man, he said, do you think it would be valid for me to discuss what it felt like for me as a gentleman to look
for
at these
sure.
women?
Yes. For example, there is one photograph of Ellie, who uh-huh. seems to be a young girl, about maybe 12 or 13 years old.
Yeah.
And when I looked at this photograph for the first time, a whole bunch of things happened. There was a guilt of action that came upon me. It was an uncomfortability because I recalled something in my past. When I looked into her eyes, she became this other person who was my first love, 12 years old.
Wow. Both of you were 12, I will add. Yes.
And when I looked into her eyes, she started to have this conversation with me about why I didn't send her a Valentine on a Valentine's Day when I was 13.
She was inducing guilt in you.
Yes, she was. And it was really, I was having this kind of silent communication with this photograph, but with this person within that photograph.
You know, I love that, actually. I mean, I think that what I am trying to do is create this space for a certain kind of empathy. And as a woman, I look at these women and I really feel what it feels like to be on the ground. I mean, I am both the photographer and the person with the authority, but also I also have complete empathy when I'm photographing someone. And so as a woman looking at these, I mean, I'm kind of photographing or capturing something that I end up feeling. And it is a very, very intimate place. And I am hoping, like, and sort of like after like what you just said, what I am hoping, and this is really what I'm actually after, is that you as the viewer, whoever you are, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, whether you're a little girl, whether you're an older woman, a younger, whatever, like, you go into this place. There is, I think that I am trying to create this intense intimacy, and so you as the viewer have to kind of connect with these images in whatever way you're kind of bringing to them. And so as a man, you're going to, for sure, look at this somehow differently.
Yes.
You know, than I'm
introspectively, it's much differently.
And that's what I'm asking. I mean, that's what I'm trying to do. Like, I think there is a certain amount of discomfort that the images are asking you to feel. I mean, is it uncomfortable for me to shoot them? No, it's not. It's not uncomfortable while I'm doing it. But there is a certain amount of discomfort that I know that I'm tapping into of my own as I look at them. And though we're creating a very close bond between us, mm-hmm. it is about that bond of like that intimacy that can be very uncomfortable. You know? Like there is this incredible thing that goes back and forth the way you look at them, but they look back at you. So I think part of what I'm trying to create is a space for the viewer to look at these images and feel their own discomfort. You know, feel because I'm interested in art. It's sort of like, you know, you guys are both in the theater, yeah. and when we go to the theater, like, what's the most powerful plays are the ones where they make us feel uncomfortable. They make us think about things that we don't want to think about, and that's where I'm trying. That's where I go when I make my work, and I do ask that the viewer goes there too.
It's interesting because I think I was saying to you earlier as well, I first approached this and thought, I'm looking at I'm looking at portraits in a sense, it's portraiture, but it's not. You're talking about an act of, this is an interaction, it's a conversation, it's an exploration, it's a journey. I'm not just standing and having the static experience of observing someone's exterior captured for me.
That's what it feels like for me. I mean, I'm not interested so much in capturing anything about what they're exterior lives are about, but I'm using their external features. Clearly, I mean, I'm not X-raying them, but I'm using their, you know, the way they look, the way they physically are in real life. But I'm trying to kind of go beyond that, not because my purpose is like my purpose is not to show who, for instance, Ellie is or Amren on the card. It's not about trying to show the world who those people are. It's really more about trying to tap into a place where, where we all relate in a certain sense of like human vulnerability. Mm. And that place is always very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really trying to create this collaboration, this dialogue between the sitter and the viewer. And so I do ask the viewer to come in and feel what they feel. And I mean, going back, George, to your comment about as a man, you know, it made you a little uncomfortable. It reminded you of things. I mean, I hear this, you know, as a child. I mean, I hear this from men a lot, that my works, you know, do make them uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think... I mean, I can't speak for all men, obviously, but I do think that there's a sense that as women, we're so taught to be nice and to be polite and to not make people uncomfortable. And these images kind of make you a little uncomfortable. But that is my aim. I'm interested in the discomfort, you know, discomforture that we do feel.
Well, your aim is very direct, I must say, because and the other things that I would like to mention is it's kind of a journal of the age, is it not? I mean, I think that it places time and history in a place as well, not necessarily because of costumes, but or the dress, but because of the making of the picture itself. It covers emotion. It covers time. I really feel that it is really an adventure of discovery. When I looked at some of these other paintings, or rather photographs. Okay. And I saw them, and the videos as well, and we'll talk more about that. There was a direct connection to each one in a different way.
Sure.
A direct connection to each woman in a different way.
In a different way.
I hope so.
It came from inside me, so it's not going to come, the same thing isn't going to come to every man that way. But I really feel that's the way it was.
It's a wonderful range of age and type, and it's just kind of wonderfully rich tapestry of faces, too, and of women. I love that about it.
I guess I know a rich tapestry of women. I mean, I mostly photograph people I know or like a little bit of a word of mouth. But for the most part, it's the kind of the people I know, you know. I mean, it's such an intimate act, and I invite them to my home, you know, and I live sort of out in the country. And so it's a pretty... The entire thing is kind of intimate, you know. It's like
Sleeping Beauty, February 20th to April 13th at the Martin Art Gallery at Muhlenberg College. In the works of Lydia's photographic exposures, the subject seems to indicate that she sees us. And because she does, she is not helpless, not waiting to be rescued. And yet, if she spoke to us, the world would roll down around us. More with Lydia Panis right after this.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon, WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley Community Radio. And we are talking with Lydia Panis, whose exhibit Sleeping Beauty comes to life on February the 20th at the Martin Art Gallery in Muhlenberg College.
And before we go any further, just to remind folks, given the weather forecast, Lydia, we have a snow date for that.
Oh, yes.
That opening, don't
possible
we?
Possible snow date. Right now, the opening is for this Wednesday, February 20th from 5 to 6:30. But Wednesday morning, I will know for sure whether, in fact, I hope, whether we're getting snow. And if so, we have to move the opening to next Wednesday, February 27th, again, right. 5 to 6:30.
And where can folks check in on Wednesday to see what's what choices
they
have been made?
They can check in on my website. All they right. can check in on my Facebook page, my Instagram page, or they can email me. Anyone okay. can email me. That would be fine, too.
All right.
I asked you briefly when we were on the break about, so it took you about 4 shots to get each one of these pictures that you were
making. Being facetious there.
Yes, of course I was. But it takes a little more than that, does it not?
Yeah, it takes a little more. It takes a lifetime.
Just a wee bit, yeah.
Literally a lifetime to make a photograph like that. yeah, I mean, I shoot, I shoot about 5 rolls of film, 5 rolls of medium format film.
For each subject.
For each subject, about 24 images on each roll. Yeah, I work it. It takes a lot of. It's more not about the film, but about the time and the kind of intensity that it takes for me to kind of build up and to kind of understand who this person is. The images all look pretty much the same, but there are just minute differences in the faces and in the body language, and all of that comes together for me to select something. It's very, very specific.
And in this exhibit particularly, there's video is a large component of it. It's using the same subjects, same models. And it was fascinating for me to look from, because I can see some of them on your website, looking from the still image. Something I'm used to looking at, we're expecting from your work. And then I thought, oh, the video, I don't know. I've got the photograph. And then I started watching the videos. And really heightened sense of intimacy and fascinating. It was fascinating. It wasn't what I expected at all. Could you talk a little bit about what led you there? Why the videos? How did this
even
start?
Even scarier. Yeah. I'll do the photographs first, and then afterwards I bring out my video camera. And, you know, I just point the camera. It's on a tripod, but I just point the camera at the model for about a minute or so. Just, you know, we don't say anything. We're just looking at one another. I mean, she's looking right at the lens, but I'm really looking right back at her. All of my work, I mean, even when I'm not doing people, even when I'm photographing chocolate or whatever fabric, but mostly people, it's so much about establishing a certain kind of intimacy, a certain kind of a connection. I'm really interested in knowing like where people are coming from and in making connections and reaching out to people and seeing what happens when we don't have anything really between us, when all our masks are kind of dropped. Mm. And when I put that camera in front of someone, I mean, I don't really ask them to do anything, but there's a great comfort. Like, I really make sure that they're very, very comfortable. And I mean, people say this to me all the time, you know, that it was really a very, it was like a zen kind of an experience. Mm. I don't do a lot of directing. I'm not really a bossy kind of person. And I think all of that comes through in the work. And there's this love that happens, at least on my end. This really, I feel like a mom and I feel like a mother to these women. I feel like a daughter sometimes. I tap into all kinds of feelings that I've had in my past. And all of these feelings are going straight from my, like, my heart to my head, or my head to my heart, through the lens to this person onto paper. Like, the images are full of a whole lot of stuff, you know, feeling that is coming from me. It's not, these images aren't so much about them as they are about what happened between us and what I've stored up my entire life. Now, I think I got off the subject of video, didn't I?
No, so how did the experience working with the video camera, both in the end result and in your experience of sitting with the model or the subject, how was it different from the still photography? Was it a deeper experience of that kind of flow between the two of you?
It is, because when I'm making the pictures, I do have the little bit of crutch of being able to kind of move around. I can smile here and there. I don't talk that much, but just enough for them to be comfortable. And, you know, I have to, like, change film, so there are little breaks, and there are, like, sort of human breaks where you make, you know, kind of polite conversation.
Right.
But with the video, like, the camera is trained on that person, and you know, it's an incredible experience for me, and I'm always so thankful that these women are, like, willing to do this for me, to kind of give themselves to me in this very, very generous and loving way. And I hope that kind of closeness and love and reaching towards one another is what comes through. Again, I feel like I keep not answering your question.
Yeah. It's interesting, because the video experience for me was certainly for myself as an audience, as the person watching. I'm also held there for a full minute in a different, you know, there was a time issue. There's the blinking, the subtle sounds of the wind, the kind of sense of time passing.
The birds, did you hear the birds?
The birds, and you're resting with this person, in a sense, if I allow myself. There's kind of a question of what I'll allow myself in this exchange.
Well, and that's really I think that's part of it. All of a sudden, that person you're looking at is even more alive than they are. I mean, my images feel pretty intense to begin with. This ramps up the intensity, I think. And I don't know if you saw all the videos. Some of them, they're actually sitting up.
Mm-hmm.
In the show, I will have a combination of, like, lying down and sitting up. I feel them as being just one notch more towards, like, a kind of closeness,
mm-hmm,
a kind of awareness, a kind of alive. They're very alive. And so you feel your aliveness, I hope, a little bit more too. But in a weird way, you know, it's like, how long can I look at someone? How long can I let them look at me? And how long can we look at one another like this with just... without saying anything.
The women and the girls in the series, of course, lie outdoors on the ground in vulnerable positions. Why did you choose outdoors? I mean, indoors would be home, would be more comfortable, I would think.
Or many things, possibly. Yeah.
You know, I rarely photograph inside unless it's in my studio, like, it against, like, a blank, you know, like, mm-hmm, a backdrop. I'm not interested in, like, people's things. I try to stay away from, you know, class and like, how people live. I'm interested. I want it to kind of go back deep into, like, their humanity.
I see, yes.
And the landscape is, I think... The natural background is first of all, I'm very, very comfortable on this piece of property. It's also where I've made all my work for the past 30 years. It's a piece of property we inherited from my father, and it reminds me very much of the land that the farm that he grew up in Greece, and my father helped us reforest this property. Oh. This property is where I raised we moved here from New York City. We raised our children on this property. This land is like home. And all of my work, you know, as a background to all my work, it is so much about, like, home and family and love and intimacy and relationships. And so this land is that for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of where I belong. Again, we were immigrants, and this land became a place where I could belong. I never felt like I belonged anywhere before until I met my husband, and we moved to this farm, and we raised our family here on this property.
That's interesting. Now, I'm just thinking of John O'Donohue, a favorite writer of mine, who talks a lot about landscape's power and places on your relationship to land, how it is a relationship, but it's as powerful as any with people or family or anything else often. Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible that I keep finding my inspiration on this land.
Yeah.
I love photographing on this land, making work on this land, being on this land. You know, I can never like wait to get home. Like when I travel a lot, but I can always am so happy to get back to this land and just walk outside.
Well, we were laughing before this. We could talk for hours, actually, and unfortunately we can't. So I do want to remind our audience again, the dates of the exhibit are February 20th to April 13th, Martin Art Gallery, Baker Center for the Arts here in Allentown. If the weather cooperates, we'll be opening this Wednesday from 5 to 6:30. There will be, if you go to any of the web, Muhlenberg or Lydia's websites, there'll be some panel discussions, there'll be an artist talk involved. It's going to be an exciting month or more. And I strongly suggest that you allow yourself to experience this intimacy with these women, be in the same room, be seen by them, and see them.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Incidentally, Lydia's work has been exhibited widely in museums and galleries in the United States and internationally. And her works are represented in public and private collections, too numerous to mention, with only 30 seconds left.
Well, since there's 30 seconds, let me just put in a plug that I'm also having another show opening tomorrow at the Southeast Museum of Photography in Daytona. Same work. I mean, it's the same series. Different images, but the same series.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So it'll be down in Florida, too.
Thank you. Many Choices, Real Voices, that's the name of the game at WDIY. This is Lehigh Valley Community Radio. Special thanks to Neil Heaver, Operations Director, and our technical engineer tonight. This is George Miller and Kate Scuffle for Lehigh Valley Arts Salon.